All right, so you're thinking about getting into heavy lift drones, the big guys.
The ones that can really get some serious work done.
Exactly. But before you pull out that credit card and drop some serious cash, we need to talk regulations. Because once you cross that 55-pound threshold, well, things change quite a bit. You're not just dealing with basic Part 107 anymore. This deep dive is all about making sure you understand the rules of the road before you even think about taking off.
Yeah, you really got to do your homework. Because 55 pounds, that's the magic number where the FAA says, hold on, this is a whole different ball game.
Right, and we've got some great resources lined up to help us break it all down.
So let's jump right in, because I think the biggest misconception out there is that Part 107, the rules most drone pilots know, applies to these heavy lifters. And it just doesn't.
Yeah, it's really a hard line. 55 pounds or more at takeoff, and Part 107 goes right out the window.
Right out the window. Now, it's not like the FAA just throws the rule book away. You still need to be registered, obviously. But the process might be a little different, might require some extra documentation. They got to make sure you're serious about this.
Right, makes sense. And what about the pilot? I mean, I know with Part 107, you need that remote pilot certificate. Does that still hold true for these heavy drones?
It does, in most cases. But here's a curveball you might not expect. The FAA could require you, the pilot in command, to also hold a medical certificate, like the kind pilots of manned aircraft need.
Whoa, really?
Yep, at least a third-class medical. Because again, the level of responsibility goes way up when you're flying a larger, heavier aircraft. They want to make sure you're fit to fly.
Makes sense. I mean, the stakes are higher, right? So, what about actually getting permission to fly these things? Is it as straightforward as Part 107?
Not quite. Get ready to spend some quality time with the FAA, because you'll probably need to apply for a lot more waivers and exemptions.
Waivers and exemptions. What are we talking about here?
Well, think about flying beyond visual line of sight. With a heavy drone, that's a big no-no unless you can prove to the FAA you can do it safely. And that means a really, really solid safety case. Redundant systems, tested emergency procedures, the works. You've got to go above and beyond what Part 107 asks for.
Wow, so it's not just about knowing the rules. You've got to be ready to make your case. So, let's say you're thinking about using a heavy drone for commercial work, like package delivery or something like that. What else comes into play?
Then we're talking about a whole other level of regulation. You're probably going to need an operating certificate, maybe under something called Part 135.
Part 135, what's that?
That's the set of rules that governs air carriers, you know, the airlines. So the FAA is basically treating your heavy drone operation like a mini airline.
Seriously. So there are rules about the drone itself, too. It's not just the pilot and the operation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're talking about airworthiness certification. The FAA needs to know that your drone was designed and built to incredibly high safety standards before they'll even let it take off. And that process can be really involved.
Now, I've also heard about certificates of authorization or COAs. Are those something heavy drone operators need to worry about?
Definitely. Especially if you're planning on flying in controlled airspace. The FAA wants to make sure you can operate safely alongside manned aircraft, so a COA is going to be a must-have.
So a waiver lets you bend a rule, and a COA lets you fly in a certain place, right?
You got it.
It seems like the intended use of the drone really matters here. I mean, a farmer spraying crops with a heavy drone is going to have different concerns than, say, a company delivering packages across the city, right?
100%. The FAA's job is to assess risk. So your safety case, that document where you lay out all your procedures and how you're mitigating risks, that becomes your Bible. You've got to convince them your operation is safe no matter what you're using the drone for.
So, bottom line, if you're thinking about making a leap to heavy lift drones, be prepared for a very different regulatory world than Part 107. It's a lot closer to what pilots of traditional aircraft deal with.
That's exactly right. You're basically entering the world of manned aviation with all the rules and responsibilities that come with it. And a lot of times that means you're stepping into the world of FAA Part 91, which covers the general operating and flight rules for all aircraft.
Okay, so final thoughts for our listeners thinking about going heavy.
Don't forget, federal regulations are just the start. Check your state and local laws too. You'd be surprised at the variations out there.
Yeah, always good advice. And of course, the FAA website is your friend, advisory circulars, all that good stuff.
Absolutely. But if you really want to make sure you're dotting your I's and crossing your T's, consider talking to an aviation attorney who specializes in drones.
Right, someone who really knows the ins and outs of this stuff. We've actually got a great resource for you on that front. In our show notes, we've linked to a website for a really well-regarded drone lawyer.
Yeah, his name is Jonathan Ruprecht. He's worked on a ton of drone cases, really knows his stuff. So if you're dealing with waivers, certifications, anything complex, he's definitely worth talking to.
All right, so heavy lift drones, incredibly powerful tools, but with that power comes a whole lot of responsibility.
And a whole lot of paperwork.
That's for sure. So before you dive in, think about the alternatives. Are there other technologies, other methods that might get the job done without all the regulatory hurdles? It's a serious question worth considering. Anyway, thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We'll see you next time.